sunny with a 50% chance of rain. High temperatures will be in the lower 50s, and light winds are expected today.
FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:05. We have returned for the weekend. It is a Monday, the 2nd of February. It's a new month, already month number two for the year 2026. Cindy Thiemann is going to join us, Hood River Watershed Group, here in a few moments. And we are going to talk about what they're doing. Second half of the show. We're going to have some friends with Hood River Police Department with us, and we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks. They are involved in a, actually, it may have started last week. I don't have the stuff in front of me here. But they're in the midst right now of a effort to educate people, remind them of the child safety laws, child safety seat laws in cars, and seatbelt laws in general. So we'll do that this morning as well on MCT. Punxsutawney Phil, we understand, has declared six more weeks of winter. I forget which way that works. I never can remember. But we have not, though, heard locally yet from Stumptown Phil, Philbert the Beaver at the Oregon Zoo. I assume we'll hear later in the day from him. As far as, it'll probably be more appropriate to say if there will be a winter in this area, more than whether there'll be six more weeks of winter or not. So we await the Stumptown Phil results a bit later on today for the more local area. Anyway, what do we got this morning? I don't have my opening stuff here. I don't. Cameron, can you write? It's in the copier. I know it's in the copier. So run it. I will have him run and get that for us all here. It's interesting that we still, with Groundhog and Stumptown Phil, all these things, we still like to keep track of this, even though, of course, they have no validity whatsoever in science at all. There we go. Thank you, Cameron. I printed it, then never went and got it. Anyway, here's what today is, what it means, and, what it means to at least some people. 1536, present-day Buenos Aires, Argentina, founded by Pedro de Mendoza of Spain. 1653, New Amsterdam, now New York City, was incorporated as a city. 1848, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo was signed, officially ending the Mexican-American War. 1925, the legendary Alaska Serum Run ended as the last of a series of dog mushers brought life-saving medication to Nome, the scene of the diphtheria epidemic that traveled 674 miles in just 6 days. And by the way, that's kind of where we get the sled dog race up there, by the way, is from that event. 1943, the remainder of Nazi forces from the Battle of Stalingrad surrendered in a major victory for the Soviets in World War II. 1990, in a dramatic concession to South Africa's black majority, President F.W. de Klerk lifted a ban on the African National Congress and promised to free Nelson Mandela. 2013, former Navy SEAL and American sniper author Chris Kyle fatally shot along with a friend, Chad Littlefield, at a gun range west of Glen Rose, Texas. N.E.R.A. Routh was later convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison without parole. 2014, Oscar-winning actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, widely considered one of the greatest actors of his generation, was found dead in his New York apartment from an accidental drug overdose. He was 46. 2021, the Senate approved Pete Buttigieg as transportation secretary, making him the first openly gay person confirmed to a cabinet post. And in 2022, four men were charged with being part of the drug distribution crew that supplied a deadly mix of narcotics to actor Michael K. Williams of The Wire, who had overdosed 5 months earlier. Days for today, it is Groundhog Day, of course. It's also Hedgehog Day and Marmot Day today, if you prefer those. It's National Change Your Windshield Wipers Day, if they're smudging up the windshield rather than actually cleaning them. It is Self-Renewal Day today. You can make of that what you will. It is Sled Dog Day, which, of course, again, we mentioned the Alaska Serum Run. 101 years ago. World Ukulele Day today, so get it out and play it. And it's World Wetlands Day today as well. Our food today, it's Heavenly Hash Day today. It is California Kiwi Fruit Day today. It's also Crepe Day today. For those of you still thinking about what they have for breakfast, there you go. And finally, it is simple, but we love them. It's Tater Tot Day today. We salute the tater tot, or Ida came up with it in the early 50s because they had the little pieces of potato leftovers from the other things they did and wanted something to do with them. So they could smash them up, turn them into tater tots, and now you can bake them or fry them and enjoy them. So there it is for what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot. 810, Cindy Thiemann from Hood River Watershed Group's next.
Total Wine is your home field advantage for game day. The only place to go for the lowest prices on your go-to lineup of spirits, beers, seltzers, and wines. Tackle game day and every day only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly, B21.
Snapshot from Progressive wasn't created for just anybody. Oh no, we made it for you. Smooth accelerators. When that light turns green, you're off. Like a warm knife through firm butter. Going from zero to the speed limit in an appropriate amount of time. Sure, your car has horsepower, but your horse's prance around is silky smooth as your right foot. Fancy Prancerton. With Snapshot, safe drivers like you get personalized rates based on your driving habits. Sign up today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents.
Golden flu season has arrived. You can trust Exergen's new TAT 2000 C+ thermometer to give you accurate and reliable temperature readings for the whole family with just a gentle forehead scan. And right now, the new Exergen TAT 2000 C+ is available on Amazon for less than $20.
Right now, our world feels divided. But out here, we have so much in common. We fish the same waters, roam the same fields, raise families under the same open sky. Out here, there's no left or right. We all share a love of wildlife and wild places. But now, the animals we love and the lands we treasure are threatened. Gone, unless we defend them. This isn't about right or wrong. It's about standing together. Because up to 1 million species face extinction unless we unite and act to save them. We are their last line of defense. We are defenders of wildlife. Join us as we band together to protect our wildlife and wild places. Because in our love for what we share, we are closer than you think. Be a wildlife defender. Learn more at defenders.org.
After my wife died, I lost myself too. I didn't feel like doing anything or seeing anyone. Then my granddaughter called to say she misses me, and I realized I had to make a change. That's when I made the call. I got referred to a psychiatrist, and she explained depression can happen to anyone. I'm learning that getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. Mental health care works when you make the call.
See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we're happy to have with us Cindy Thiemann from the Hood River Watershed Group. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Well, let's talk about something we didn't get to last time. When you were here last month, that's a pipeline project you guys worked on.
Well, it was... pollinator habitat
along
pipeline corridors.
Okay, that seems really specialized. I would guess
it was specialized, and so I want to acknowledge that we were one of the partners on the project. Mm-hmm. Farmers Conservation Alliance, which is a local nonprofit organization that works throughout the country, and they even now work internationally. They have been huge advocates and facilitators of pipeline projects around the West. Working with closely with Natural Resources Conservation Service and other funding agencies to really promote and get funding to primarily to irrigation districts,
right.
around the West. And so they had this idea about, look, we're helping these districts convert open canals to pipelines, and then you're left with bare dirt over a buried pipe. And is there something we can do to add value, you know, to these projects? You know, there's hundreds of thousands of miles of pipeline corridors, you know, across the country, particularly in the West, I think. And also, pollinator habitat is seriously depleted. It, you know, that's a natural resource issue. It's, it can be a challenge for farming. So, there and Natural Resource Conservation Service, NRCS, has this a funding program that can give some funding for innovative projects. And so there was, we received funding to, and this was also in partnership with the Soil and Water Conservation District. So, the SWCD and us, Farmers Conservation Alliance, and then Farmers Irrigation District was the, they were the district that actually did, hosted the project. So it was a, the pipeline had already been done. And so we were experimenting as to the best methods for converting a weedy, you know, buried pipeline corridor to something that was better for pollinators.
So I'm interested to know when you know we pipe in these irrigation canals. There were a lot, for a lot of good reasons. Most of all, you know, eliminate a lot of the evaporation. You know, maximize the water we receive. It's going to be really big this year when we're all said and done. It's going to be very important. But when we do that, are there impacts to our natural ecosystem that occur because we pipe over something like this?
So there are probably, there are no doubt wildlife, some wildlife that had become accustomed to having, you know, open water seasonally.
And of course, and these are man-made, of course.
These are man-made, you know, been around for 100 years. So, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, that you know, there's no species out there that have evolved to depend on irrigation canals, right there, and we have had many conversations with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife about the issue, and they, you know, consistently have said it's better, it's not great for wildlife to become reliant on, you know, sort of these kind of man-made features. There are natural sources of water that, you know, streams and in some cases ponds that these, that wildlife should be utilizing. And so in rare cases, sometimes, you know, depending on the situation, they'll put out a guzzler or something, but it's really better for the wildlife to utilize natural water sources.
So this, with the pollinator pipeline project, so you have, you've got the dirt. You've got basically long lines of dirt
right
there.
Exactly.
I guess to the uneducated like myself, my first thought would be, well, you know, plant seeds of, like, you know, what would attract a pollinator? You know, I think of, you know, I think of the bees in the backyard, right? You know, and the flowers and dandelions. Is it that simple?
Well, it's not what's not, I mean, in some ways it's simple, but what's not simple is the weeds are weeds for a reason. They're really competitive. And so they tend to be pretty drought tolerant. And but our native like our native flowering plants also tend to be really drought tolerant. And if you can control the non-native plants long enough to let those flowering plants get rooted and get established, it takes a couple of years, you know, kind of 3 years kind of at the minimum for them to kind of get going. And so we we used a seed source from, I'm not thinking of the name of this. Anyway, yeah. Native seed sure. supplier. And then we also did some, I believe we had some little plugs that got planted as well. We used Humble Roots Native Plant Nursery, which is an amazing native plant nursery out of Mosier. They have all sorts of flowers, you know, that are native to our area. And they also helped us with the monitoring of the effects of the project, because that was really a primary driver is to look at the effects of what worked, what didn't, how successful.
So how long did it take to seed all this? Because there you had a lot of canal to go through.
Not that long. Not that long. And I can't remember the number of miles. It was on the order of like a mile or so, something in that length. Because I walked it. I wasn't the project manager on it.
I will say as someone who does things around the house and the backyard, that seems like a lot of seeding to do.
Yep.
So, you mentioned, you know, now you monitor whether it takes or not, for lack of a better term.
Right.
How has it gone so far? Or do we really have enough data to know?
I think that we are not actively monitoring anymore. So we have completed that phase. And it would be interesting to go back out again, because we didn't monitor for like 3 or 4 years, which would have been ideal. But then funding windows are what they are. So my observation, and in talking with Alex Danielson, was our project manager on that, and was that we did receive... we did notice it was successful.
These
pipeline corridors can be in places where it was a little bit shadier and there was a little bit more moisture. Some of those plants did super well. And then there are some bone dry sections that they're pretty sparse. And one thing that I really noted was there were also some native and I actually unfortunately don't know if I'll think to ask about the bee monitoring.
Yeah.
Because the Oregon Bee Project did
that part.
Did bee monitoring, and I don't know what the results are were of that. One of the things that we noticed though is that, you know, there are these native shrubs that were along the pipeline corridor that were already there, and I just remember walking along in the spring, and then you just notice, these shrubs covered in bees and other kinds of pollinators. And, you compare a shrub that's probably got, 2,000 flowers on it with,
Right, with your row.
What you planted on the ground that's getting established. And so that kind of probably biased the results a little bit, particularly in terms of the bee monitoring, I think. But overall, I think bottom line is it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was scalable to other places. It's definitely work, but it's better than having, knapweed.
It gives you a chance at least to... Maybe, because obviously these are in areas where it's not like somebody's going to go around and pull this stuff all the time. At least this provides the opportunity, I would think, for a chance, if you do this seeding, to choke some of this stuff out.
Yeah, exactly.
And put in things that, frankly, we need, because our pollinators are endangered in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very important agriculturally, obviously, for us at this point. So, it's an added benefit to the pipeline project for these irrigation districts. You're also mentioning to me, I didn't think of this with the Watershed Group, but you talked wolves last week.
Yes.
And it apparently got a really big turnout.
Yeah. It was, I figured it would be a big turnout. We normally, as I think you probably know from looking at our newsletters over the years, that we tend to focus more on aquatic topics, but we do on a you know, eight out of the 12 months of the year, we host these public presentations on natural history related topics. And I had heard from somebody that the wolf biologist for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife had given just a fantastic talk in Bend. He's based out of kind of, I think, Prineville. And, you know, when you hear, like, wow, great talk. And I had been hearing that, you know, we have had wolves certainly coming through our area for, and this is, Aaron Bott is the state wolf biologist. And so it was fascinating talking with him and hearing this talk. So, you know, probably a decade or so of wolves kind of coming through, but really in the last couple of years, it's pretty recent. We do have a wolf pack that has, you know, set up a territory. And I think that wolves have really large territories, we learned. And, it, you know, it's sort of Wasco, Hood River, you know, sort of up in that, I don't know, maybe Surveyor's Ridge, Fir Mountain area. And there was actually a dog injured 2 weekends ago. It was a couple of days before our talk. So people, there were some folks there that were pretty upset because one gentleman's dog had been injured. Fortunately, wasn't killed, but it was a hound dog, and so they were pursuing. They were doing some training, but they came across the wolf pack. It was in the Fir Mountain area. There were over 200 people. It was held at the ruins. So huge turnout, and it was Aaron did a fantastic job of really helping us all understand wolf ecology better. And, you know, kind of the how, you know, what wolves are after this time of year. They're right now, they're mating. They have very narrow, they mate once a year. This is right now is when they're mating, and they are very focused on that. They're very territorial. Then soon, you know, and then once their pups come, then, you know, they're territorial about that too.
I've talked about wolves before on the show, more to the eastern side of where we are. I shouldn't be surprised. We've had cougar issues here from time to time, but admittedly, it's the first I've heard of wolves being an issue in this area.
I think it perhaps is the first incident that I've heard of, and that that I have heard of everything related to wolves.
But because
we really had a lot of people come out and we did learn about that.
So, I mean, how do we try to, what were some of the tips as far as dealing with this for property owners?
So big, keeping your dogs when you're out in the woods, keeping your dogs, either on a leash or, you know, in sight, because wolves still, you know, they are going to, I mean, what saved the dog was the owner running up and showing up. And then the wolves ran off once they saw the humans. So not letting your dog, you know, roam off leash in any kind of place where they're, that wolf pack could be. And also keeping food inside. Okay. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife does have a lot of really good information on their website about wolves lots of tips. I was looking up.
Yeah, because the food part really, that applies to any wildlife
exactly.
out there.
Bears,
cougar, the whole gamut. Don't leave an attractant out there, essentially.
Yeah. But dogs are in particular, like the wolves will, they see them as a threat. They see them as a threat. Cougars, on the other hand, they just, you know, I mean, they probably see them as a threat too, but they run away from them as opposed to, you know, having a standoff or and cougars are solitary. And
usually the cougars, there is an element of they're more afraid of you than you are of them kind of deal with those, because as you said, they tend to avoid the confrontation
right.
if they can.
Right.
Wolves are a little different. And of course, we also, I mean, I've learned a lot about the commercial impacts of it with some of the agricultural operations out there, which I don't know that we'd have necessarily, but we have livestock operators around here.
We do. And I don't believe there's been any depredation yeah. of mm-hmm. livestock in the Hood River County mm-hmm. in the watershed. There have been in Wasco County.
Yeah.
And one thing that we learned that I think a lot of people were surprised about is mm-hmm. that the state of Oregon does have a program mm-hmm. To compensate livestock owners that have, yeah. you know, they it has to be documented that they've mm-hmm. been killed by a wolf. But and it's actually this wolf biologist, Aaron Bott, who comes to, mm-hmm. you know, verify whether something was a wolf kill. Mm-hmm. And but it's county by county, and the county has to have a committee that yeah. they've set up and to, you know, sort of review and approve yeah. those claims. And Wasco, neither Wasco or Hood River County yeah. have those. Yeah, sounds yeah. like you know about
well,
that.
Jeff Justice in Wasco County, who became a commissioner a year ago, one of his goals has been to get that committee reestablished.
Oh.
They had one, and then it kind of dropped off, from what I understand.
Okay.
And getting that reestablished is a key part. Hood River County, because I just haven't been familiar with wolves being in this county, I honestly don't know what those plans are. I think
it would be smart to have that committee in place in Hood River County, because now that we have a wolf pack in, you know, it's possible we have
a jillion committees. One more isn't going to come. You know, you can have it meet just every once in a while when you need it.
Right. So exactly. Because the money is there. It's mm-hmm. through the Department of Agriculture. So, yeah.
But yeah, if you're getting into that point where there's that concern, and I'll mention real quick here before we let you get away here.
Yeah.
You do these about once a month or
yes.
so.
Yes.
How can people get a schedule of them? How can they find out?
You know, we need to do upgrade our website, but the best way is to go to www.hoodriverwatershed.org and mm-hmm. sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah.
You can just subscribe to our newsletter. We you know, don't share anybody's data. All we do is send out a monthly newsletter mm-hmm. so you can find out about our talks and other things. So if you go to that hoodriverwatershed.org website and click on the newsletter button, you can mm-hmm. find out about it. Our next one will be in this month.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll be having it at Working Hands, and it'll be about forest roads and fish passage projects.
All right. So then we might talk about next month along some other things.
Yes.
Our guest has been Cindy Thiemann, Hood River Watershed Group. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It is 8:32 in the morning, and we will come back with the news right after this.
Never have I ever called my sister from the finish line of my first marathon.
Hello?
You won't believe where I am.
Are you running?
Mile 26. I'm going to make it.
Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e with its advanced camera system on us. Plus, two lines for just $30 a line.
Guys, I can't believe it.
I knew you could do it, babe.
That was amazing. Mom, how do you feel?
I feel great. I can't feel my feet. Let's take a picture. And then you may carry me to the car.
Share every stride, every mile, every memory on America's best network. Switch to T-Mobile's 55 Plus plan and get iPhone 16e on us. And two lines for just $30 a line.
With 24 monthly bill credits and two eligible port-ins on Essentials 55 Plus for well-qualified customers with autopay, plus taxes, fees, and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128GB $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 1H 2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Do you know how to make your materials recycle ready? Well, for starters, don't leave food and liquids in them. Food is good for you, but not for your recycling. Scrape the food into your compost or trash, rinse and dry the accepted materials, and then they are recycle ready. Accepted materials are limited, so check the Waste Wizard on the Solid Waste webpage to learn how to dispose of each item correctly. The Clickitat County Solid Waste Department and Republic Services thank you for recycling right.
This Valentine's Day, show your love with a gift that sparkles as brightly as your feelings. At J.D. Smith Jewelers, we have the perfect piece to make this Valentine's Day unforgettable. From elegant necklaces to dazzling rings designed to capture hearts. Visit J.D. Smith Jewelers today and find the perfect piece that says, I love you. Because nothing says romance like a timeless piece of jewelry. Don't wait. Make this Valentine's Day one to remember. J.D. Smith Jewelers, 121 East 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles. Online at jdsmithjewelers.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
Eight 8:34 in the morning, checking out it's in the news headlines. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek calling on the Trump administration to suspend its enhanced immigration enforcement until authorities can fully investigate the federal government's killing of protesters Renee Good and Alex Preding in Minnesota last month. She also vowed to protect Oregon protesters' rights to peacefully assemble and to do what was in her power to shield immigrants and communities of color in the state. Kotek's comments Sunday followed the president's attack on Eugene protesters, some of whom broke windows at a federal building Friday, prompting local police there to declare a riot. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson urging Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents to resign and told their bosses to leave Portland in a scathing statement issued Sunday after federal agents launched tear gas at a large crowd protesting near the Portland ICE facility. Wilson called for those who work for ICE to resign and those who control the facility to leave. ESPN reported over the weekend the Seattle Seahawks will go up for sale after the team's appearance at the Super Bowl. Citing unnamed sources, ESPN said talks between the Seahawks ownership and the NFL have been ongoing over the past week. The estate of late Seahawk owner Paul Allen, however, is denying that report. And Washington lawmakers are considering three bills to strengthen regulation of kratom, a psychoactive supplement sold at convenience stores and smoke shops. One bill would impose a steep tax on the product. Another would ban the sale of a synthetic substance sometimes found in kratom. The third proposes a small tax combined with a version of the Kratom Consumer Protection Act, a regulatory framework passed in all other states. It would also set labeling requirements. And our current temperatures at this time in Stevens is 42, Hood River in the Dalles 40, 8:36 in the morning. More on MCT right after this.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
Weber, it's a fly ball to left. That's well hit. Clifford's going back on that, going way back, and that ball is gone.
Hood River Valley baseball fans, celebrate the upcoming season on February 7th from 5 to 8 at the HRV Baseball Fundraiser at the Hood River Elks Club. There will be dinner and a live and silent auction. This event will honor past, present, and future Hood River Valley baseball players.
Harvey being waved to second. He's going to pull in with a stand-up double. The Eagles have scored first.
Alumni get a free drink with their ticket. And Little League and Whitecap families are encouraged to attend with HRV players leading fun events for the kids. Proceeds go to the Hood River Valley High School baseball program. Tickets are available in advance, $40 for adults, $10 for students and players, and $5 for those 12 and under. They'll be $50 the day of the event. A link to purchase tickets is available at the Hood River Valley Baseball Facebook page. The Hood River Valley High School Baseball Fundraiser, February 7th from 5 to 8 at the Hood River Elks Lodge.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny with a 50% chance of rain. High temperatures will be in the lower 50s, and light winds are expected today.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are back. It is now 8:30 in the morning. Don Shaley and Jennifer Kendall joined us from the Hooter Police Department. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks.
Good morning.
And Don, I'll start with you here first because I was mentioning that over the next couple of weeks, police agencies around the state, including Hood River and the Dalles, are involved in a, I guess it's called an enforcement effort, but there's a lot of education involved here. And this, and we're looking at it being around seatbelts and child safety seats this time, aren't we?
Yes. So this is a high visibility enforcement that is, it takes place throughout the entire state. It's something that's funded through ODOT. We get the grant funds from them. And it's really about educating drivers on, one, wearing the seatbelt, and how to properly wear the seatbelt, and then a heavy emphasis on child safety seats as well.
Mm-hmm. I'll start with seatbelts first, because admittedly, I almost look at this like smoking anymore, in that we've been beating the drum for this for years. I tend to scratch my head when people don't do it. And Don, you're out there, and what do you see? I mean, is it still a problem that some people just don't wear their seatbelts?
You know, Oregon consistently ranks in the top 10 mm-hmm. Compliant states in the U.S. So Hood River is about, I would say, anywhere from 96 to 98% compliant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, year in and year out. So mm-hmm. we do a pretty good job. But, we still get out there and try to mm-hmm. educate people.
So in regard to seatbelts, what does the law say in this state?
So you have to have a lap belt mm-hmm. with the shoulder strap coming over the collarbone. Okay. So we're looking that people are wearing it correctly and not under the armpit, mm-hmm. sliding it under. So that's what the law states. And you have to have a seatbelt for every passenger in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So when we say it's a high visibility enforcement, what do we mean?
So our officers will work outside of their normal scheduled shifts, mm-hmm. and they'll come out with the grant money. They'll work overtime to come out and do this enforcement. And so it's more officers out on the road that are not being that's their main focus. They're not mm-hmm. having to respond for calls for service. They're just to put an emphasis on seatbelts.
And grant funding comes into play. Does it? I mean, you're going to, I think, from probably Oregon Department of Transportation or something like that.
Yes. ODOT is the entity that funds it, and Oregon Impact is the group that runs the grant and distributes mm-hmm. the funds.
Now, I started with seatbelts there first, but I would guess, just based on some of the things I see, and we're going to go over how to properly do a child safety seat here in a moment, I would think that the child safety seats might be a little more of an issue here in terms of perhaps not seeing the compliance we should.
You know, from time to time, we'll see it. Mm-hmm. Again, in Hood River, we're seeing mostly compliant mm-hmm. Vehicle operators. But there are times where we'll make a traffic stop and we'll see that a child is not properly restrained or the correct way. So in 2017, the law mm-hmm. changed that any child under the age of 2 has to be mm-hmm. rear facing. Mm-hmm. So whereas in the past, prior to 2017, it was 1-year-old. Mm-hmm.
So Jennifer, I mean, I kind of see you've got the chart here.
You know, I do.
With child safety seats, I mean, I'm very familiar with how to secure my dog in the seats. Mm-hmm. I'm not as familiar with children. I haven't had to deal with it. So what do people need to know?
Well, they need to know that the laws are always changing, so mm-hmm. staying updated on that is super important, and that every seat and every car has its own specific rules. So you do need to, as much as we all ignore this, read your owner's manuals and refer to your owner's manuals, whether it's your vehicle or your car seat. But general rules, you know, like the 2 or younger rear facing, you actually do want to stay rear facing as long as possible and as long mm-hmm. as your car seat allows for that to happen. It is the safest position for children, and keeping them in the back mm-hmm. seat. So yeah, there are the course for this for a car seat tech is a week long, and that seems silly. You would think that it would be CPR you can get certified in a few hours, but there is so much information and so much because there's so many different seats and so many different vehicles.
Now, also I was saying this because kids go through different stages. I mean, for the infants, there is the old bucket car seat that you mm-hmm. put in, as mm-hmm. you mentioned, the rear facing. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important to be rear facing?
So the reason rear facing is important for a small child is when you are in a collision, the way that it's called a ride down happens, mm-hmm. the way that the movement of a person, the way that the movement of a child would move in a collision, mm-hmm. You don't want the movement of that child to be moving forward. So the way the harness is for a child rear facing is the best case scenario and best chance of survival for a child rear facing. And that's mm-hmm. not just 2 and under, but mm-hmm. even as they get bigger, depending on weight and height.
And it really protects yeah. it really protects the head and neck and mm-hmm. spine mm-hmm. A lot better. Mm-hmm.
So Is the bucket seat till about 2 years old, somewhere in there?
The infant carrier.
Mm-hmm. Because let's say children grow at different rates. Height. Is there like a height and weight guide to it? I mean, may not be at 2 years old. You go to the booster seat.
Right.
Yeah. So now it is. Age 8 or 4 feet 9 inches okay. tall. And really, it's just as long as the seatbelt, as I described earlier, can fit them properly,
right.
then that's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm.
And it isn't a catch-all. Like, my niece is almost 6 years old, and she is tiny. So, yeah. And you'll find a six-year-old that would maybe meet the requirements of a booster seat. But
right.
It also has to do with their ability to understand how that seatbelt is supposed to be on them. If they're developmentally not at a point where they understand that they need to be buckled, you know, it's better to keep them in a 5-point harness longer.
Right.
That way they can't undo themselves.
Mm-hmm. With parents in the normal situation, I take it at 4 feet 9, that's when the strap properly comes over at that stage?
Yes.
The basic strap? Okay.
For a booster seat. So you go from basically a car seat right. to a booster seat. And mm-hmm. it's just...
So that's the strap in part. Now, I know with child seats, the actual harnessing into the seat itself mm-hmm. can be, I think this may be where we really start to get into the read your owner's manual part. Mm-hmm. I have had to do these on occasion. They're challenging.
Yes.
I'll put it that way. What should I be looking for here?
The easiest way to remember is that you're contact points want to be on the hardest parts of your body, which is why the 5-point harness hits across your sternum
right.
and across your hip bones, because mm-hmm. you want the least amount of damage possible. So you want to hit the hardest parts of the body. And that's pretty universal yeah. of where you're going to want the 5-point harness mm-hmm. to be, or a seatbelt that's going to cross on the hardest parts of your body.
And of course, in adding that bucket seat, you also got to kind of get it strapped in properly sure. so it doesn't fly away on you.
Sure. And I have raised 3 children, and mm-hmm. when I went to this training, I learned I never buckled any of my children incorrectly. So everybody makes mistakes, and mm-hmm. you know, Lieutenant Shaley was saying, it's not mostly about people not using them; it's about right. not using them properly. And, mm-hmm. and being a car seat tech, it's not to get people in trouble for doing it wrong; right. it's really just to educate them. Because mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even know, and I thought I was doing it right.
Don?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, and I think for it's. I'm sure that I probably made my share of mistakes too, yeah. as mm-hmm. putting my own seat in. But and Jen is one of the only, maybe few in the area that is a certified car seat mm-hmm. technician. Mm-hmm. So great resource at the Hoodover Police Department. Mm-hmm. If you think you have questions about it, feel free to come down and we'll help you out.
Yeah, as Don, you mentioned, I mean, the point of all this isn't to ticket people.
Right.
It's more just to keep people safe. I will ask you this, Doug. I'm sure you probably hear this from people. You know, now this gets back more to the adults and the safety belts. Mm. You know, it's like, and they go, well, why, you know, if I don't want to, it's my life, why should I? What do you say to that?
It's still the law.
Yeah, well, that's number, okay, that's number one.
And that's it. You know, and we get that sometimes. Mm-hmm. People say, well, you know, it's my choice, I don't want to. And we try to explain to them mm-hmm. and educate them the dangers of not wearing the seatbelt. And again, go back to, well, you know, Oregon law requires that you wear a safety belt when you're traveling down the road.
Yeah, I personally would show them, because I unfortunately have covered automobile accidents in my earlier days, and it doesn't look good when somebody's gone through a windshield.
No.
It looks really bad. There is another part that I was always kind of drummed into me by my parents, which was my stepfather in particular. If you're strapped in as a driver, you have a much better chance of keeping control of the vehicle and maybe preventing an accident from being worse.
Yes.
If you're bouncing around and you lose control of the steering wheel, the damage and involvement of more people becomes infinitely more possible.
Yes. Yeah, and it's we get statistics from the state, and mm-hmm. I think back in 2023 was fatal injuries from crashes were contributed for 30% mm-hmm. Of those. So it's even at low speeds, you can still get seriously injured.
It doesn't take much, does it?
Not much at all.
No. Out there. Jennifer, people would like help with their, you're a licensed child seat technician. How can people get help from you?
For me specifically, they can contact the Hood River City Police Department.
Okay.
They can email me, they can text me, they can call our front office, and I can come to them. They can come down to the police department, and we can look at how they have their seat installed. If they aren't up to that and want to look it up online, safekids.org has great information. NHTSA, N-H-T-S-A, also has great information. They have information on car seat recalls. So you can enter your car seat in and see if there's been a recall on it, and it has all kinds of great information on the weights, heights, and all the requirements.
Mm-hmm. Car seat, does that happen?
It does. And there are car seats out there that are not legit certified car seats that you can order online that aren't legal or tested in the United States.
Well, that's what I didn't think about. How can people maybe know that when they're buying? So a guy would assume if they go to a retailer in our area, I try to avoid naming retail names, but a place where you would go get this sort of thing, I would assume they can probably go with pretty good confidence.
Sure.
Online's different.
Right, which is how we're doing a lot of our shopping these days.
Which is how we do a lot of our shopping these days. Is there a certification logo people can look for?
So our car seats that are tested and approved in the United States have labeling on the bottom of your car seat. All the stickers are in different places depending on the car seat, but it will have a manufacture date. It has an expiration date, which most people don't know that they expire.
Really?
And it'll have your model number, and that's the way you would look up information on your car seat.
The expiration date, that's interesting. How long does a car seat last?
Depending on the brand, it can be anywhere from 6 years to 10 years. It just really depends on who's making the car seat.
Do the belts just wear out, fabric, things like that?
I think it's based on assumed wear and tear, and car seats involved in accidents are supposed to be replaced, whether from a moderate to severe collision. And hand-me-down car seats aren't a great idea either because you don't know what they've been through.
And that's where I was going to, because I could see where, very easy to do if you're a parent, goodness knows you have multiple children, that they're expensive.
They are.
And I could see where it'd be very tempting to just keep using the same seat. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize there was actual expiration dates on them.
Yep.
Well, there you go. That's part of this right here.
Absolutely.
I'm sure I wasn't alone, is my guess. So, again, how long does this last for? How much longer?
So we are in going into our second week. So right. It was run until February 8th.
February 8th.
Yeah, right. And we do a couple of these every year.
Yeah, man. Again, it's if people would like some information, basically on the child safety seat side, again, as you mentioned, Jennifer, one more time on the website. I know people like to do that.
So there's safekids.org, this website. And then if you go to the City of Hood River website for us, you can find my contact information.
Don Chaley and Jennifer Kendall, Hood River Police Department. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is 8:52 in the morning. We'll come back and begin to wrap things up after this.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-1509. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-1509 or biglou.com.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at vaxassist.com. That's vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's impossible to have a bad day when you start it with Chick-fil-A.
Hi, I'm Miles.
And this is Grant.
And the little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit is
how the fluffy, crispy goodness wakes us up in the morning. The chicken is crispy, the biscuit is soft, it's iconic.
Throw some jelly on it, you could throw some honey on it. It helps me kick off the day.
The hash browns are great. And I really like the shape of them too. Little circles of crispy goodness. Yeah, those early morning chicken biscuits are just great, man.
Mornings are a little bit brighter with the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit and Simply Orange Juice. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:54 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Have you ever had to put a child's safety seat into a car, by the way, Cameron? You may be a little, may not have been in this position.
I have not had to do that, thankfully. Okay.
Because and this has been a while back now, a number of years ago, a relative of ours, and I was asked to drive them somewhere and give them the child safety seat.
Okay.
You do need the manual, okay? It is not easy. It is to get that seat in properly. I was flummoxed at times.
I've never had to do that. I have had to drive my pets places.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And usually I'll put them in a crate or something.
That,
and then
either that or, well, you know, my dogs, I had, you know, this one's the one we have now is so small, a crate's much easier. But we had a seat belt, a nice strap you put around the seat belt. You know, you put the loop in, run the seat belt through, you plug it in, and then you'd strap to the heart, put a harness on her and have them strapped in.
Right. And it,
they didn't like it, but it's safer for them.
Oh, no, they didn't like it at all.
It's safer.
It's much simpler than a baby seat, I'm guessing, but yes. I imagine the feeling is the same when you're driving and you're like hyper aware.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you are.
That you have a pet or a baby in the back.
And that's not a bad, it's a good hyper-awareness, by the way. Yes. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to be aware like that. But, if you're out there, don't be afraid to ask for help. Most of us have been there, and it's we understand. You know, but it is important. And I'm big on people wearing seatbelts. I just think, I don't understand why someone wouldn't. I really don't. I don't get it. Especially if you're the driver, for goodness sakes. You know, you're responsible. So, do we have another break? Let's get the last break real quick. I just realized we're running out of time here. We'll come back after this.
I am Heidi Hedlund, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
Okay, tomorrow on our little radio program, didn't have much to get in there, we're going to talk Special Olympics, and the Polar Plunge is going to be the discussion topic. We're one of their ambassadors here tomorrow, and we will talk about the event coming up this Saturday down at the Hood River waterfront. Also, be Youth Think time. So Debbie Jones will be with us from Youth Think tomorrow. Wednesday, Washington 17th District State Representative Kevin Waters, and we'll talk about something with the next door. Thursday, OSU Extension. Friday, Dr. Mike Foss will be on to talk animals. So we got plenty going on during the course of the week on this show. I want to remind you that on Wednesday evening at 4:30, actually more Wednesday afternoon, 4:30 to 6:30, Waning Snow Moon Ski. This can be a Teacup Nordic. This is Hunter Valley High School's Nordic team doing a fundraiser. It's a luminary loop followed by soup, bread, mock toddy, or hot chocolate. Donations are welcome. And it should be a pretty nice evening out there to do a little cross-country skiing. Going to be nice and clear, it sounds like, on a Wednesday late afternoon for that. We're out of time. That's what we need to say. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's Country.